The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom on me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
How's that? How's that?
That was a great singing voice, Rudy, and I'm really happy to know that you're gonna. This is gonna be a callback later on in the episode, and you'll see why. I think it sounds like you've trained really hard for that, and you sound great.
Well, I mean, that was not me. That was my friend Louis Armstrong right there. Say hi, Louis.
Hi.
How old is that song?
Good. You know what? You do your thing, and I'm gonna look it up.
Mostly because...
Tell them where we are.
Is Louis dead? You know? Not to be crass, but... I feel like...
That's very...
He might well be gone. Anyway, today we're in Guangzhou, and I hope that's how you pronounce it. For some reason, I didn't look up any pronunciations for this
recording session. In 2024, this song is 57 years old.
There you go. It's getting ready to retire.
Now the big question. Is Louis Armstrong dead?
And the answer is inconclusive, seemingly.
Louis Daniel Armstrong died in 1971.
Well, so the guy's been revived about 50 years, more than 50 years after his
and
death,
thought,
and is sitting next to you.
Why is he, for the lack of a better term, so dead on my couch?
He doesn't have... Yeah, all right. Well, good to know. So he would have died only a couple years after making that song then.
Yeah.
Alrighty. That's nice. So anyway, today we're visiting China, people. If you ever heard of it, am I right? It's in East Asia, for those that are not sure. It's a big country. I remember my first memory of China, really, is my dad. And this is, you could argue that this is where my whole map cells spiel comes from. Is my dad, we were sitting... This was back when I was young, when I was still living in Belgium. We had a globe, and my dad was like, all right, if you tell me which country has the most people living in it, I'll give you a prize. I forget what it was. And I was like, all right, let me run to my globe. So I'm looking at my globe. I'm like, all right, Russia, that's a big ass country. That's got to be it. And I tell him, Russia. And he says, no, idiot. Not like that. But, you know, that's how it felt to me. Because I got it wrong, mostly. He wasn't trying to cut me down, but you know, I felt like I lost that day. It's China. And I was like, what? China? But they're not even the biggest country. And that's when I learned you don't have to be the biggest country to have the most people.
And that's so profound.
That cut deep, Rudy. And from that moment, I vowed I will now learn all the countries and capitals of Europe, which is then what
and
I
next,
happen to do.
You know what?
Do.
Next time you see your dad, you're gonna come up and be like, "Dad, if you can name me the first 15 countries population sized from like 1 to 15, I will give you a prize. Take this globe now."
And he said number one was Russia, actually, which was a bit of a surprise. So that's my first memory with China, really. What about yours?
What's my first memory of China? I don't know. I don't have like a specific Chinese memory, I would say.
All right, that's all right. Not everyone has to have that. I guess I'm just special like that.
At some point, I thought they're cool magicians when I was a kid.
What?
Because I don't know what. I think I might have seen some kind of cartoon or something. Point being, I'm still am, but I was really, really, really big into dragons back then. And I really liked the Asian style, like the serpent dragon. And
yes,
of course,
that is cool.
Very big in those, like, encyclopedia books and stuff like that about dragons. So I was like, yo, it's a cool dragon. And I started watching like some cartoons about, like, basically, there was one cartoon I remember about horoscopes. And I think it's some kind of Chinese story or Mandarin story where that they at some point, you know, somebody like westernized it. But the cartoon was basically like, apparently those animals like had to win a race. And that's how they distinguish like what order they come in throughout the year. And because of that, I was basing a lot of stupid stereotypes probably as a child in China.
All right. Well, so Rudy's already giving me the signal to hurry up. But there are a couple of things I wanted to rattle off before we really get into it. And number one is, of course, China has like 1.4 billion people of population, right? So there's a bunch of cities that you probably have never heard of that have like, that are like gigantic. So I just wanted to rattle some off and see if you know any, Rudy. So you just tell me yes or no if you've heard of these. These are all higher than 5 million population.
Oh, geez. And that is two Latvias already.
And I'll tell you what, I specifically picked out the ones that I didn't know by name either, so.
And there's no fucking way I would know, but okay, go on.
Alrighty, have you heard of Harbin?
No.
Have you heard of Changsha?
No.
Have you heard of Changchun?
Nope.
Have you heard of Suzhou? I have no idea if I pronounce that right.
No.
And have you heard of Chongqing?
Yes.
There we go. We put in one to make Rudy, you know, feel good about himself.
Chongqing I have heard of.
Chongqing is probably the one that most people have heard of because it's like this, like a city that's very vertically built. Look it up if you haven't. Yes. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Okay. So that was just like to demonstrate, I guess, the scale of, there's 136 cities in China with a population of 1 million or higher. And then here's a quick fun fact about Google Maps and China. And you might have seen this before, Rudy, but did you know that I actually don't know the exact reason whether it's not allowed by China, but either way, all of the Google Maps of China are offset. If you open up satellite view, you'll see that all the streets are like in the middle of like, are just not correct. They don't line up at all. They can be like in the middle of rivers. And it's because the Chinese government tries to not have that info out there.
Yes.
So that it's harder to, like, track what they're doing / plan on doing things, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway,
yep.
It means that...
China's very strict on these type of things, yeah.
Yeah. So you can have a look at satellite view and everything's there, but none of the roads will line up because it's always offset in some way across the entire country.
Yeah.
And then we're going into Guangzhou, a couple facts about that. It's the largest city in southern China, Rudy, and we love a bit of South China in here.
A bit of South China, don't we?
We definitely do. It's
Did
part
that ever
of one
work
of the...
out? Did you start getting those ads?
See, I didn't, but what's interesting is that... flying through Guangzhou is actually one of the main connections back to Europe. So I feel like it has made its way into my life just in a way that I didn't expect. You know, maybe I was forced to move to Melbourne so that now when I go back to Europe, I have to fly through Guangzhou. So I think they might have got me.
For the listeners to have context, for the longest while, Henry was testing if Instagram is listening in and gonna like post ads about it on his Insta. He basically, you know, all that thing where it's like, oh, you mentioned one day, yeah, it's been a while since I've gone to IKEA. Suddenly your Instagram is full of IKEA ads, you know, like it's all around the place. Like everybody knows this happens. And yet somehow Henry saying out loud multiple times in his phone, basically screaming throughout like 2 or 3 months, South China, he never got ads for airlines there. So that there experiment kind of failed, but it might also be Western propaganda, that's why.
Who knows? Anyway, the last fact is Guangzhou is also part of like one of the biggest metro areas in the world. Making up, or like the whole metro area is made up of 70 million people, Rudy. And is comprised of like Guangzhou, Shenzhen, you know what, I should not say the other cities because I forget what their actually names are. But there, it's a lot of big cities all next to each other. Also Hong Kong and like Macau. So. All right, Rudy, that's it for me.
Yeah.
That's the end of our episode.
Whoa! I've been waiting for a new story for this episode so long by now. So you're not gonna take this away from me. Without further ado, episode 75, brought to you by Tomo Hoza, Globally Local FM. We are going into the news. And finally, the day has come, and I've been waiting for the wheel to bound it to me, to give me the chance. My article of today, my crown jewel, is the biggest dick in Guangzhou.
Okay.
It's been long in the waiting. Ladies and gents, this is the story I have been patiently waiting to tell. The one article that comes through my spy network. Finally, the day is nigh. So basically, I have a friend. A Chinese friend.
Right.
A Chinese friend who lives in Guangzhou. A gay Chinese friend who lives in Guangzhou. He, let's call him William, is very much active on the sex scene of Guangzhou. Don't overthink it, man just enjoys life's pleasures. Well, anyhow, William, once in a while, treats me with some explicit stories, one of which has become a legend. So as you know, as Henry already said, Guangzhou is a city of like almost 15 million people. And yet, as it turns out, my gay Chinese friend who lives in Guangzhou named William, by now knows the, how would you say, biggest players in the gay scene. Because apparently there's certain districts where it is more active than others. Uh-huh. And his story is simple, summed up in one sentence. And this is a true story. He just told me this once over the phone, and it still, well, lives and haunts me every day. So, I quote, "Biggest dick in Guangzhou, 19 centimeters I fucked."
That's nice.
It's nice that he keeps good track on you, of it. William, and thank you for providing the news to Globally Local FM. Keep at it, friend. My story is, I actually went out, but he didn't reply in time. I went out to call him, to like text him, and I was like, please tell me there's now a bigger dick in Guangzhou, because this is by now 2 years old story. I have not had confirmation, but there must be. And I am going to keep this down until I want this saga to continue. This has been in the friends group as well as a joke going around. The biggest dick in Guangzhou, 19 centimeters he fucked.
So, did he measure? Like, or this is just he eyeballed it?
I'm not sure if it's Grindr, but a lot of people on these, like, sex ads, basically, right? Like Grindr, I assume China has its own thing. No, you just explicitly just state on the app, most likely. I wouldn't
like
be surprised.
Like you're advertising.
Yeah, literally, because there was some things where... So, here's not even exposing myself, because to be honest, I kind of forgot I existed. So, after summer, I downloaded Grindr, right? Hadn't been there in a long, long while. And I was like, okay, let's see how it is. And then the profile is like, oh, you can put tags under your name and blah, 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 blah. I start going through the tags. Henry, I swear to God, I feel so... I'm 24 years old. Ripe age, right? I felt so old. I don't know what half of those tags mean. I had to ask my friend. I always do this. Just tell the friend's name and then Sid bleep it out. But oh my God, I'm getting a call. Wait, I'm sorry. I'll have to decline this, darling.
Who's calling?
So that was a dear friend who is now in California.
Rest in peace.
So true. Anyways, my gay friend had to explain terms to me. And I felt like a dumbass, but there's so much out there. It's just blooming, that world.
Yeah, stay out of touch, King. What can I say? Did you end up putting all the tags on, or you just left it?
I just left it as is. I haven't been on there like a month or two now, but yeah. Well anyway, so that was my story. I wanted to get off my chest.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see if there's an update to that, people. I imagine since it's been 2 years and they're still on the prowl, they have probably found a bigger treasure, but we'll have to wait to hear back. Rudy, skiing becoming popular as a summer activity in southern China?
Wow. Tell me more.
So after the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, skiing became a lot more popular as a recreational activity in China, right? Okay. So what they did in our big Guangzhou metro area is they opened the world's largest indoor ski resort.
What did they put in there? Himalayan mountain?
Well, actually, you know, the height difference sounds pretty small. So that's probably me not knowing much about skiing now. So the height of the slope is 83 meters. And you have been skiing before, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can tell me if that's a lot, because I've never been.
I wouldn't know this in such technical terms, I would say. Like, I've been skiing, like, to Alps. I've been also skiing in Latvia, because we do that over the winter. And I think, yeah, that's it. But, I mean, natural mountain, of course, is like, I don't know how they measure it, because it's, like, a way longer track. So I assume the height is also, like, you know, way higher. But for an artificially made mountain or, like, something smaller scale, I don't know if 83 is a lot or not, genuinely.
Yeah. And then, as I was like reading this, I was also thinking, I wonder how that looks then. Because if it's 83 meters, you have to have like at least in like 90, 100 meter tall building for that. So is that like built onto a slope already? Or is that just like a massive fucking ass building? I don't know.
I would assume that the building is not, well, I'd assume it's like imagine mountain having a roof, but it's not like, oh, like mountain and a box on top of it. It's more like that the ceiling goes with the mountain's relief, right? I think that's how I imagine it.
Yes, but you would still have a massive ass building if you're making that.
No, of course, like it has to be. It can't be, by the way, it also cannot be too large, because then I assume, imagine how much more expensive it gets to keep, like, because the volume increases, but you have to keep that volume cold for the snow to stay, right?
Right.
So the bigger the building, the less efficient their cooling system is, so the more thing they have to spend. Yeah. So it's probably like a very, you know what, talking about engineering and optimization problems, that one is probably a doozy.
Yes. So the size, getting to that part as well, really, there's 5 different ski slopes in there, and the floor area is 10 hectares, which is like 10,000 or 100,000 square meters, I think, which is...
Yeah, I would not know, but 10 hectares is a pretty big...
Yes. Or for the Americans among us, because the article mentioned this, it's 27 acres. So if that means anything to you, there you go. Yeah, so this comes as an effort because in summer, you'll be shocked to learn, Rudy, but you can't actually ski in summer because there's no snow. This comes as an effort to keep the growing popularity of skiing possible in summer as well, so that you don't have to go to a big resort to do your hobby. And how much do
and
you
this
think
this is still probably a resort?
Well, yes, I guess so.
Bleh.
But Rudy, how much do you think it costs for a weekend trip to go skiing in this indoor ski hall?
Do I assume, like, I have to assume Euro equivalent price?
Let's say USD, but...
USD, okay. Well, I feel like you're setting me up for a question where it's diabolically cheap.
Yeah, see, the problem here is I have given you, like, no measure at all, so it's going to be hard to guess this, but that's why, Rudy, I have full faith that you will guess it right, and you'll be celebrated
for weekend,
as a hero.
I would say 100 USD.
That's pretty close. It's 140.
There you fucking go.
So, would you say that's cheap? I would say that's about as much as I expected, to be honest.
That is really cheap. that is. Well, actually, I don't know. Is that just the ski pass, so to speak?
I think so. I reckon.
Okay, then it might be. Then it might be just an average, to be honest. But
yes, which is fine.
Because if it's, yeah, that's your average price these days. That's, I haven't been skiing in a while, but from what I know, that yeah, that could be. That could be.
Well, I'm pretty sure that like just like the ski lift pass, even just down here in Australia, is like $200 a day, which is pretty brutal.
I actually did not know you do ski in Australia, which kind of makes sense, but I was just like, where the fuck do you get snow?
There's like a very small, or there's like a mountain range near Melbourne where it's possible to go skiing at some points of the year. Like, it's not a great, it's definitely not a good skiing place. Like, there's much better places along the world, but in terms of having it in Australia, it's something rather than nothing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, makes sense.
Well, ready? On to the ad?
Yes, on to the ad we go.
Do you often find yourself undermined in meetings? Does your voice not carry weight when you speak? Hi, this is Henry from the Globally Local FM podcast. You might believe I was born with the perfect voice, but you would be wrong.
In fact, my natural voice sounds like this.
It took years of training to perfect the pitch of my voice, all so that I could run the most successful podcast within 20 meters of my household. I know that many people out there are struggling with an imperfect voice, leaving them feeling unheard. I'm happy to announce today that I am releasing a voice training program, which you can use to transform your voice. Here are some examples of some iconic exercises that we will be doing. The dinosaur. The simpleton. The nasal voice. The high singer. The confused caveman.
What is fire? What is computer? What is TV? Ooga booga.
If you follow all these exercises, you can transform your voice from
a high pitch like this
to a low and sexy voice like this.
DM me on Instagram to find out more and make sure you include your credit card details in your message.
Is this when I mentioned about an ad I made a while ago? I don't think the episode is out yet. Well, actually, by the time this comes out, it will be. Is this the where you at some point tried to also look under Andrea Bocelli up?
This was inspired by the ad where you sang. Yes, if that's what you're asking.
Actually, you mentioned it at some point.
Do you know what the song is called? Of the one that I sang there.
I mean, I know this song, it's very popular, but I don't know what it's called. No.
So I just know like the little, like the singing part of it, but I actually don't know what it was called. So I was looking it up, but because I didn't know anything about it, I just looked up, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but song that goes
Yes, so. yes. And did it work?
No, it didn't.
Oh, you could have tried it in Shazam.
I have tried singing something into Shazam before, but I didn't recognize it. I don't know, does that work?
But I don't know if it works, but for something like this, maybe it would, I don't know.
Maybe worth a crack. I'll try after we finish recording.
Very funny ad, thank you for that content.
Hello, dear listeners. So, as the editor, I did look into this, and I am familiar with the fact that this is known to be one of the hardest arias in opera. So I started by Googling that, and this is The Queen of the Night aria from The Magic Flute by Mozart. The most popular version is sung by Diana Damrau at the Royal Opera. But yeah, hope that helps.
All right, so everybody, let's move on. Close your eyes and picture this. You're at the airport, bags packed and more excited than ever. What started as talking into your phone as a joke, manifesting ads for visiting South China, has finally spilled over into a real trip. On the flight over, you're giddy, and when you finally land, you head out to explore the city. You enjoy the vast cityscape, the many temples, the high-speed rail, and much more. Does it live up to your expectations? It's a hard question to answer. You didn't really have any expectations. It was all just manifested from a joke, after all. When you have finally had enough and are ready to go home, you try to route yourself back to the airport. Unfortunately, you find yourself only with Google Maps and an offset map to work with. With the roads all being displayed incorrectly and you not speaking any Chinese, it seems you'll have to stay a bit longer. Maybe this was a long con that South China was going for all along. So if being trapped on vacation sounds fun to you, Rudy, then maybe Guangzhou can be your next destination. And I think for you, especially because you've got a friend to visit.
Yeah, honestly, it's a 5 years overdue trip. He's been calling me over for so long, I feel bad, but it is a very expensive trip in my defense. Anyhow, all right, ladies and gents, let's quiet down a bit. And whilst we do so, let's go local. Finally, you know what? First, why are we whispering? Well, because technically we are spying right now. Yes, Google's yellow man is a war criminal in China. Hence, his coverage should not exist. But hey, in a city of 15 million, there is always someone who drops the odd picture here and there. Next up, lads, if you ever want to go somewhere and vanish, it's here. Guangzhou might only be the fifth largest city by population in China, but it is also the largest metropolitan area, as Henry said, in the country. Basically meaning it's a never-ending city. Your utopian dreams might very well come true here. And right, we all know that China is pretty much known on running itself. Everything in China comes from China. Whilst good for them, I can understand that someone like you want to buy some, you know, trashy American candy or some German car. Well, luckily for you, historically, Guangzhou was the first and for a while only port of China that was open to international trading. So you got that going for you. Anyways, I think I can, like, raise my voice a bit. Right, so, to sum it all up, if you can stay on the down low, want to get lost in the crowds, but still drive a shitty BMW, go to Guangzhou so that I can never see your dumb face again. I swear, if there's one car I could just blow up every time I see it, it would be that bitch motor wanker.
actually, something I forgot to mention, is... Have we ever talked about Macau on this podcast? I forget.
We might have mentioned it, but I don't think we talked about Macau.
So for those that don't know, Macau is also part of like the larger Guangzhou like metro area. And it's basically the Las Vegas of China in the sense of you go there and get to gamble because it's not allowed in China. But because Macau is technically an autonomous territory, it's where all the casinos are built. People go there to spend a gambling weekend. It's what it's known for.
Well, if you want to have a mental picture of Macau, whenever in American movies you see people going to China and going to a casino, that most likely was filmed in Macau.
There you go. And there's a, like one sick-ass building. If you go in Street View in Macau, there's like one sick-ass building. You'll know it when you see it.
You know what? There's a homework for the listeners. Go find that sick-ass building. Anyways, go on, local business, buddy.
All right, for my local business, I would recommend visiting one of the many internet cafes like Bangshuo Internet Cafe, where if you're lucky, Rudy, you can find the next League of Legends prodigy who's wasting his life away 16 hours a day in there practicing the big game.
Well, good on him. For my local business, I recommend Mengyu Foot Wash. Get your dirty paws properly scrubbed, you nasty.
What the fuck, Rudy? That came out of left field. Okay, that's nice. My local radio is to listen to the Foshan Radio Shunde, who were playing some pretty relaxing Chinese ballads. So that's a vibe worth checking out.
You know what? Good on you that you found this, because for my radio suggestion, first of all, listen to Konghua Lixui River Sound FM 95.4 to hear music. I found four different radio stations giving news 24/7 before I found this. It was economy, it was business, it was events, governmental, you name it. They have a radio news channel just for that. And also, one thing we did not mention, but maybe, you know, people might be interested to know. By the time this comes out, it might be already ended or it's happening. But, 15th National and Paralympic Games of China are around the corner in Guangzhou.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the thing that's going to happen.
That's cool.
Yeah, they have very cute mascots. It's two dolphins, one pink and one, I think, gray one.
Sounds good. Do they have dolphins in the waters? Huh? Do they have, like, dolphins in South China? Do dolphins live?
I'd assume so. I think so. They live around China. Must be, right?
I don't know.
I mean, like, coastal regions and stuff like that. Maybe not the river dolphins, but, you know, might be. Well, maybe they just came out with a mascot of a left field. well, point being, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to episode 77, Guangzhou, China of Global Local FM, brought to you by Tom of Hazao. yeah, I'm actually running out of ideas of how to do the huzzah. But anyways, so if you have any suggestions on how to do a huzzah, Instagram 000RUDYS000, so 000 Rudy's 000. If you want to give that idea to me, if you want to give that idea straight to Henry, then you can find him in.
You know what? I'll be patrolling the rivers and seas of Guangzhou looking for dolphins.
You know what? Fair enough. And, well, we will see you next week in...
Rudy?
Yes, you're going to see me in my hometown. Rezekne, Latvia. So that's a doozy and a half. Anyway, Sandy, what's your best dolphin impression?